Hi, everybody, and welcome to a bonus edition of Paulistic Behind the Curtain, where we take a look at theater and the arts. And coming up in Chicago, November 22nd and 23rd, there's a great actor-comedian coming back to town with such a rich history and family history at that, that I wanted you to know him and what's coming up for you to check him out. Two different dates, but two different places and two different shows. Connor Ratliff joins me for the show. Connor, it's good to see you.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, you actually have some rich history with Chicago that goes back to your dad.
Yeah, my dad used to do improv in Chicago in a group that was put together by Del Close, who's like one of the founding
famous Del Close, whose skull is not right. He left his skull in his will to be used for Hamlet.
I believe so. I believe that's true. That is. And my dad, he lived in Chicago for a short while in the early 1970s. He was trying to be an actor, and later went on to be a weatherman and kids show host in Missouri. But when he was in Chicago, he saw a notice for auditions for an improv group. And this was during the period where Del Close would sometimes work for Second City and sometimes he'd be on the outs with Second City. This is one of the times when he was off on his own putting together a group. And they put together, it was part of a group called the Chicago Extension. And I grew up with these posters. Like, we had these posters up in our basement for improv shows. And my dad's photo with all the other... Betty Thomas was part of I think, the Chicago Extension. And so I had one of these posters for a show called Dream Theater, where I think Del Close would, you know, he'd be in the audience. Sometimes he'd be, like, directing the improv from the audience. And I was looking. I saw the address of the venue is on the poster. And I thought, I wonder if that venue is still there. And it was the Body Politic. It is now the Greenhouse Theater Center.
Over on Lincoln.
Yeah. And so I've been doing improv at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York for about 15 years. And I just got it in my head. I got to go do my show in the place where my dad used to do improv.
That's going to be fat. And by the way, I want to talk a little bit more history with you. Yeah. But for folks watching us now who might say, oh, what's going on? Let's tell them what it is that's coming up, because it's two different shows. Let's start with the one on the 22nd, when indeed you are at the Greenhouse Theater, mm-hmm. honoring your dad, so to speak, in that very same space. Tell me about that show, because it's called The Acting Class.
Yeah, Connor Ratliff presents The Acting Class. It's basically a fully improvised one-person show that pretends to be a real acting class. So it's me interacting with the audience as if the audience is made up of students in the class, but I'll talk to actors and non-actors. And it basically is a mixture of crowd work and scene work, all under the guise of me being a version of myself. That is, it's not like I'm making up credits. I will talk about my actual like acting credits in film and TV and things like that. And I've been doing it for about a year and a half in New York and taking around different places. And I just thought, oh, if I'm going to do this show in Chicago and finally bring it to Chicago, I thought, oh, this would be a perfect one to do in the same place where my dad used to do improv, you know?
Well, and improv and comedy, is such a big deal in Chicago between Second City and IO. And, you know, there are so many places here where it happens. So it's just amazing. Let me, so do you, when you're working with the audience, it's improv.
Yeah.
Are you asking for, are you asking for prompts, or are you conducting like you might look at me, for example, if I'm in the audience, I'll put you on the spot. Well, how might you interact with me for just a moment?
Well, I would ask people if, you know, if I want to talk to an actor or a non-actor. If someone is a non-actor, I'll often find a way in which they actually are an actor. You know, I've talked to people who it turns out they are in like a forward facing customer service job. And that is a role of sorts, because you're not being you have these coping mechanisms in dealing with the public that are not that different than playing a character.
Well, we all play roles. I mean, that's right. I mean, look, as television, that's a certain persona, which is not necessarily me, or mm-hmm. as you, a teacher in a classroom, somebody who's helping you at the Walmart. I mean, that's true. It's like these are personas we're putting on.
Yeah. I mean, anyone in broadcasting talks different in their broadcast mode than they do when they're just, you know, ordering coffee.
Connor. I keep it all the same.
Oh, well, you're a consummate professional. You never let the veil drop. It's finding ways of playing with the audience. It's finding ways of, I'm the only one who's ever, I don't bring people up from the audience, but I'll have like a dialogue and then I will use that to inspire the scene work, which, you know, in a lot of acting classes, in a real acting class, it's often an opportunity for the teacher to sort of show off. And I kind of use that conceit in the show. Anything that anyone says to me can be an opportunity for me to show, like, well, this is how it's done. And sometimes that's in a sincere way, and sometimes it's in a way where I'm sort of making fun of the there is a pomposity that seeps in whether you intend it to or not when you are, you know, taking the high status role of like, I'm the acting teacher. So even though it's not a spoof, I'm not trying to parody acting classes, it will inevitably start to happen every now and then. I'll catch myself sometimes saying things to people and then immediately say, by the way, if anyone ever says that to you, don't buy it. It's a thing that acting teachers do to maintain status. You know, so I'm constantly sort of pushing and pulling at the form itself of gotcha. Like, is this a real acting class? In some ways it is. It's, as acting classes go, it's very affordable because it's cheaper to buy a ticket to an improv show than it is to attend an improv or acting class, you know? Yeah.
Do you ever get somebody that like, so I, and I don't know what that would be. I'm a funeral director. I'm a scientist. Something where you're kind of going, oh, even I don't know what to do with that. Or you know what to do with everything.
I'll always find a way to, you know, there was a guy whose job was to design software for the Mets. He basically was like part of a computer team that did like analytics. And there was nothing in his actual job that was like being an actor. But what I found was that I started asking about his coworkers and his boss and realizing that they all sort of form this crew of characters that each have a role within there. So I sort of turned his workplace into a sort of like play that I turned his life into a play where I sort of like portrayed all the different characters and showed the ways in which like you do have a role that you're playing. It doesn't seem like you're performing, but in a way it would almost be like the way you'd point at like Robert Duvall in The Godfather and how that character sort of hangs back. It's not a showy performance, mm-hmm. but he's still acting because he knows he's there to be like silent and sturdy, you know? And so I'll always find, I mean, sometimes it's a challenge, but that's part of the fun of the show is I like it when there's someone that in some ways the ideal participant in the class is someone who's not overtly an actor or, you know, that you can, cause you can pull more surprising and interesting things. You know, sometimes you can sort of tell when it's an actor who's a little bit like eager to volunteer that you're kind of like, okay, that's not what this is. This isn't like an opportunity for someone to necessarily like show off or something, you know?
Yeah. If you were to say to the audience who wants to, and I'm raising my hand going me, you're probably not wanting to come to me because I'm looking to take over the show.
I might, but it would be a different kind of challenge. Certainly if it was you, I would definitely call you because I think that would be fun. But you sort of approach different personalities that come at you with different temperatures. You know, if someone's coming in too hot, you need to cool them down. If someone's coming in, you need to pull something out of them. It's a very different kind of rhythm. But that's part of the fun of the show is that no two shows are ever the same. You know, I put all the shows ultimately on my YouTube channel. You can go see Connor Ratliff Presents the Acting Class on YouTube. And I know a lot of people who haven't been able to get to New York or the places I brought it so far have been like, oh, thank you for putting these up. And if you watch any two shows, they're completely different.
And I didn't mention the YouTube channel because I've actually watched some of those, but I figured let's let people go see you live. So I didn't want to send them to the YouTube channel, but every experience is different. So I guess it really doesn't matter.
One of the things that I think we especially, I think, remember from lockdown is like, it's going and experiencing live theater, live comedy. It's a social thing. It's not the same as, you know, it's great that we have the technology that we can watch so much stuff on our screens. But for the people, if you like what you see on the YouTube, you'll have twice as much fun coming and seeing in person because, you know, even like in New York, we've gotten to the point now, I won't name names, but there was an Oscar-winning actor who came to one of the shows and you could feel it in the audience that people were just so excited that this person was watching the show. And it added like an element of a different electricity there. I didn't end up calling on this person.
It freak you out at all to have that person there?
No, it was on my birthday. And I was very excited because this person's a hero of mine. But it was one of those things where after the show, I heard from people who've been coming to the show regularly who were like, oh my God, when we saw this person, we were so excited. And wow. I think part of that's just like the buzz of the show is starting to like build in New York.
Which is great. It was De Niro, wasn't it?
I mean, I won't say it wasn't De Niro, but I just will. Any name you throw at me, I'll say, well, it could have been. Certainly.
All right.
Certainly could have been.
I'm just hoping, because I would have lost it. So for people that want to see the acting class, that's at the Greenhouse Theater. They can, and that's going to be on November 22nd mm-hmm. at 7:30 p.m. in the space where your dad appeared. And yeah. tickets can be gotten at greenhousetheater.org, theater spelled the American way, T-E-R, as yes. opposed to the British way, which I prefer, T-R-E. But anyway.
I prefer it, too. I like theater, E-R, for, if it's just a building. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's just a building, that's a theater to me. But R-E, that's the stuff.
That's the know? Art.
Yeah,
now, I totally agree with you. Greenhousetheater.org, tickets November 22nd, 7:30. And then the next night, you're not in the greenhouse anymore. Next night, we're kind of driving about 15 minutes away or so over to Milwaukee Avenue in the Den Theater. And by the way, both of these venues have different rooms, so I'm not sure which space you'll be in within them. But yeah. over at the Den, it's not like, oh, if you miss the acting class, I'm going to do it at the Den. No. If we miss you at the acting class, you're doing, in fact, if we see you at the acting class, we'll still want to go over to the Den on the 23rd because you're doing a George Lucas show? Do you pretend to be George Lucas?
Yeah, I've been doing this show for over a decade, and I've been doing it started as a character version of George Lucas that I would do for my friends back when the special editions were coming out in the 90s when he was sort of started tinkering with his movies. My friends would be like, hey George, why'd you do this? And I would just go into the character and I would start explaining why I was doing what I was doing. And then at a certain point, about a little over a decade ago, I started doing the show at UCB, and the notion of it being that George Lucas had retired. And I thought it'd be a fun hobby in his retirement to go into the personality-based format of the talk show. Because George Lucas is notoriously a sort of shy, introverted personality. He's not performative. And we've been doing the show for over a decade. It's been really crazy, the kinds of guests we've gotten. There's a documentary that's coming out on Blu-ray the week before we have our show at the Den. That is about how this show sort of developed a cult following. We've done it at the Edinburgh Fringe. We've done it in LA. We've done it all over the place. But for some reason, we've come close to doing it in Chicago several times, and it's always something has come up. There's been a scheduling glitch or something falling through. But that's always been on our list. We've got to bring the show to Chicago. So we're very excited. It basically is, I am George. The guests, what we have not announced yet. We have some very good guests. We will be announcing soon. But the guests are just themselves. And so it's their chance to interact with one of the most successful artists of all time.
Do you play him for comedy, or do you play him like we're getting to know George Lucas?
A little bit of both. I feel like the more you get to know him, I think the more comedy there is, because he's such a baffling figure. He's a character who has total creative control, and he's someone who's so successful that even his failures are successes by any reasonable standard. You have movies that people think of as terrible failures, terrible bombs. You're like, that movie made $300 million. You're just like, you know.
A bomb for him, but yeah, not for anybody else.
He is, to me, such a fascinating figure. And Griffin Newman plays my sidekick, Watto, who is one of the characters from one of the prequels. And he sort of is in the Ed McMahon, Andy Richter seat. Yeah. And we just... The thing is, it's a show. A lot of our biggest fans are people who have never seen Star Wars. It is a show that is for, if you like Star Wars, if you like George Lucas stuff, we spent a lot of time talking about his museum. You know what I mean? Like, we spent a decade talking about this museum that he's about to open in LA, to the point where there were people who, now that the museum looks like it's finally opening, there are people who were like, we thought that was a bit you invented for your show, because we will talk about anything and make it related in some fun way to Lucas in a way that is not alienating. If you've had it up to here with Star Wars, you think you can't see another Star Wars thing. We're not necessarily, like, we do whole shows where Star Wars doesn't even come up, you know?
I love it. Well, and plus, so there's some improv to it.
Oh, yeah, it's fully improvised. Yes. Fully,
okay. And, you know, there's a couple, you probably know, but in Chicago, first of all, his wife's from here, and so he might be in the audience because he's got that. And I'm guessing, since you talked about the museum, I'm glad you brought that up, but I'm guessing you also know. You know, this was to be the home. Chicago was to be the home for the museum, and we kind of messed that up.
Yeah, Chicago and San Francisco both had a crack at it, and I know Rahm Emanuel was trying really hard to, like, make it happen in Chicago. And I think the worry was that it was just going to be like a bunch of Star Wars stuff. And then, you don't know, 10 years from now, you know, there was a time when Star Wars, when the first three movies came out, there was sort of nothing else where it sort of went away for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there was the fear that you'd end up with a museum that would very quickly, you know, the Star Wars generation would grow out of it and it wouldn't be anything. But it looks like they are curating it in such a way where the the Star Wars aspect of the museum is this big, and they're trying to make it more of a genuine destination for anybody who likes art and stories and things like that. Yeah,
my understanding is it includes his personal art collection, and so it should be an art museum. There were a couple of problems with it. One was exactly what you talked about. The other one was the location. This whole notion of you got to keep the lakefront clear and stuff. But Rahm, man, he was angry about it. And Rahm's back in Chicago, so you might see him show up. Now, by the way, you would know if you see Rahm in the audience, I'm curious, would you go not touching him, or would you go, you know, as long as you're here?
You know, I think if Rahm wants to reach out, we can play it either way. I'm happy to give him his privacy, but if I saw Rahm in the audience and I got the feeling that he was interested in sparring comedically, I would love to have my version of George interact with his real version of Rahm Emanuel.
That would be great. And plus that'll add some PG-13 language to the show.
Oh, we'd have to, I'm pretty sure if we get him riled up, we'd have to bleep him, you know? In real time.
Yeah, sounds like you and I both talked to Rahm. Well, and that show is going to be the next night, the 23rd, at 7:30, both at 7:30, but now you're at the Den Theater over on Milwaukee, 1331, I think it is, yeah, North Milwaukee Avenue, and tickets for that one can be gotten at thedentheater.com. Now, here we're spelling theater properly, T-R-E, thedentheater.com. So two very different shows coming to Chicago. I know your dad lives in Florida. Is he coming up for the show? I mean, I'm sure he's seen you perform, but to be in the space where he's performed.
Yeah, he's not coming up for this one, but my hope is that these shows go well enough that I'd love to be able to come back to Chicago once a year and do shows. You know, that sort of would be the dream to me. It's sort of baffling. The only time I performed in Chicago was last year when Comedy Bang Bang was at the Chicago Theater, and it went very well. And anyone who was at that show, I think would vouch for, like, I think I'm trying to, if I can just spread the word to the people who were at that show, I think all of them would come see these shows, because that was a particularly fun night that went very well.
Yeah.
And it really whetted my appetite for, like, how did I not, you know, I'm a Midwestern guy. It doesn't make sense that I haven't performed very much in Chicago, you know?
It's about time.
I love Chicago. And I want to do more shows. So I hope people turn out. I know the George Lucas Talk Show, there's only a few tickets left for that one. There are still tickets left for the show at the Greenhouse Theater Center, but I'm hoping we have a great crowd and a great night.
Well, I'm sure you will. Let's give a website so people can check you out, check out, you know, the DVD or something that might be coming up for some of these programs.
You can find anything about George Lucas Talk Show. You can go to georgelucastalkshow.com. Otherwise, you can find me, if you know how to spell my name, Connor Ratliff, you can find me on Instagram. If you go to the YouTube channel, Connor Ratliff Presents the Acting Class, if you look it up on YouTube, you'll see loads of shows there. And I'm pretty easy to track down on social media. If you've gotten that far, you'll find me.
Exactly, as I have. Well, Connor Ratliff, we're welcoming you back to Chicago. And again, we're going to post all the information on the site so people who are watching us right now can read it on the site to see when you're coming. But it is November 22nd and 23rd, two different shows, two different venues. They're both close by, easy enough to get to. I want to thank you for spending time with me, Break Legs, while you're here in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
Your wishes are meant to be. And I look forward to seeing you this time and next time when you're back.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. And thanks, everybody, for watching us here. Remember, you can go to WGNTV.com/store and pick up your very own Behind the Curtain mugs and T-shirts and even shower curtains. How about that, Connor? A shower curtain with the logo.
I'm very tempted by that. Very tempted by that.
You should totally have your around your stage.
I got to go to the shop right now. Right.
Start looking it out. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.